In the famous film noir, Sunset Boulevard, the main character is a woman who was a famous screen actress during the silent era in the 19-teens and 1920s. But now, in the late 1950s, she's become more of a recluse because she no longer is that young starlet that's getting the offers in Hollywood to play the leading lady. And she's in a state of denial over that. And the young assistant that she hires is able to help her to get an audition with her old studio. But when she arrives in all of her grandeur, including her old 1920s car, she realizes that they want her to play the mother of an adult son, an older character, and she storms off. And she has all the signs there. She hasn't been offered a role in years. All of her old movie star friends come to play bridge with her once a week, and they're all very old themselves. In the film, they really are played by 1920 stars like Buster Keaton, who at that point is bald and has a huge beer gut. So the signs are there. It's pretty obvious. But she doesn't want to see them. And she chooses instead to withdraw within herself, to not think about the end, to not think about death. And that's what today's gospel is all about, the end. Because in a real way, each of us is born to die. It's not just a catchy song by Lana Del Rey. We're actually born to die, but it can seem depressing or bleak to say that. But as Christians, we know that that's not the case. It's not depressing, it's not bleak, because death is actually our birth into new life. Christ himself says that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a grain of wheat. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. And that fruit is nothing less than eternal life. I was just doing a baptism today, and one of the things that I remember the first time I did a baptism really struck me is it talks about the being baptized into death. And if you don't take the time to explain to the parents what you're talking about, it can be a little alarming. But it's really true. That baptism into death is a death to our old self, to our old life of sin. And it becomes our catalyst for new life in Christ. It goes back to that image of Noah's Ark and how it was through the death of the flood that the new covenant was forged. The first seminary I went to, St. Charles in Philadelphia, all along the walls of the chapel, there were carved waves right above the heads of all the men. And it was to show a real drowning, a submersion in the waters of baptism, that we might have that new life, that indwelling of the Trinity within us. And yet in our society, in spite of all the hope that this kind of death brings, we do everything we can to cover up death. How many commercials do we see for age-defying lotions or makeup? It's all the time. Or supplements that promise to reduce our age. It's a huge multi-billion-dollar industry to forget about those signs. And it's not a bad thing to do things to look healthy or young. And yet, if we really are using that to forget about our own mortality, that's where we fall into the problems. In other words, we are covering up the very signs that Jesus is telling us today we have to be aware of. That time is fleeting. That we are moving quickly through this life, and there is going to be an end for every one of us. And are we going to be ready for that? Because the signs, if we look for them, are everywhere. One of my favorite poems and favorite hymns is Abide With Me. It was written by Henry Francis Light. Now, Henry Light was an Anglican priest. And it was one of these things where he came from a noble family in the 1800s, and the oldest son inherited the property, so the second son would either go into the military or go into the church. And he went into the church and lived a rather comfortable life, wasn't too concerned with spiritual matters, even though he was an Anglican minister. But then he had a conversion. He went to a sermon one time given by another priest, and he had a conversion experience. And at that moment, he realized there's so much that he can do. And so he was looking forward to all the new things he would accomplish for the Lord as this newfound zealous priest. And right at that time, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which at the time was a death sentence. And so as he died, he began to write the hymn, Abide With Me, which is all about change and decay around him, and looking at the one thing that is constant, in spite of our gradual decay as individuals and in the world in general, that God is that constant. He wrote, Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, no tears their bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Death loses its sting, and the tomb loses its victory when we believe and we act with Christ, because he showed that he conquered death. And so no matter how depressed we might get about our own eventual demise, Christ went before us to show that it was conquered. And that's where the great hope lies. So how can we incorporate this newfound vision of death, of the decay, of the end, in our own lives? I would suggest three ways. One is to live for the moment in a very particular sense, not the way these kids today talk about it. You only live once and all that. You live for the moment, and that means that you're actually living for the future, for eternal life. In other words, you're not looking backwards and being hung up on the sins or the problems or the hurts that affected you in the past. That you realize that each time we reconcile ourselves to Christ, he forgets everything for us. He forgives and he chooses to look forward with us, not to look back on our past. So whatever's holding us back now from being close to the Lord, we forget about it. Forget about the past in that sense. Learn from it, but don't let it weigh you down. Don't let it affect your relationship with Christ. For those who are in the Knights of Columbus like I am, you know that one of the things that we talk about, one of the mottos, is memento mori, to remember death. You know, there was a pope in the Middle Ages who used to, in order to remind himself that he would die, used to sleep in his coffin at night. Don't do that. It's weird. But his point was that idea, if you remember your death, if you think of your death, you're not going to sin. It's hard to sin and be thinking about your death at the same time because you know that you will have to answer for our lives. When Pius X was shown his room, he looked at the bed, which was much nicer than anything he had had before. And he said, what a lovely bed, but it's the one that I'm going to die in. That was before Pope Benedict retired and sort of changed that. But it is that idea that you're always looking at the end, but in a positive way, that you're living well now for the end. And then to open your eyes. Open your eyes to all the signs around us that life is passing away and that we have an opportunity right now to really reform our lives. And no matter what we've done in the past and without worrying about the future, planning for the future but not worrying about it, which does nothing for us, we can in these moments live a good life, be close to Christ, and prepare for that time when we will go. And then we have the last line of this Abide With Me, which is the idea that it's Christ who will see through all the gloom or the dreariness that we might feel about the end. Because as Henry Francis Light was dying, he continued to write these 8 verses. And the very last one he wrote just a day or two before he actually died. And he wrote this, Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom, and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks, and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.